China escalates its trade row with Australia. The latest target? Wine. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Beijing has launched an investigation into the wine industry down under, putting an industry worth $1.2 billion at risk. The year-long probe aims to determine whether Australian winemakers are selling their product at unfairly low prices. The BBC's Shaima Khalil has more from Sydney.
Put simply, the possibility of an import tax on Australian wine puts hundreds of millions of dollars at risk here. China is Australia's biggest trading partner, full stop. And if you look at the numbers, for example, last year alone, wine exports to China amounted to about $900 million. And the news already knocked off a fifth of the market value of Australia's biggest winemaker. We also heard from the Australian Trade Minister. He reiterated that Australian wine is not sold below market prices and exports are not subsidized. So in short, he's saying that Australia is not undercutting Chinese winemakers.
And that's sort of at the heart of this issue, isn't it? How much do Chinese producers actually compete with Australian winemakers in the country?
Well, China produces more wine grapes than Australia does. The industry itself is very, very large. It's domestically focused. It's domestically consumed. The market share of domestic wine had actually fallen in the last 4 years, which also is the same period, if you will, that record exports by Australian wine have been recorded. And technically, this is what China is looking into at the moment.
And this is all part of a broader trade row that's been heating up between the two countries this year, isn't it?
Absolutely. One of the things that really pushed it over the edge was Australia openly calling for an international probe into the origins of coronavirus, which started in China. And it was seen by Beijing as Canberra siding with Washington. They were also looking at Beijing's crackdown in Hong Kong, for example, the rejection of China's flagship 5G provider Huawei by Western mobile networks, including Australia. All of this has contributed, and we'd seen moves progressively by Beijing to all of this, including, for example, imposing tariffs on Australian barley, suspending some beef imports. You know, this latest probe absolutely is kind of the latest move in a back and forth between those two trading partners, and a lot is at stake for Australia.
The BBC's Shaima Khalil in Sydney. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Checking the numbers, stocks in Europe are largely higher, with travel shares helping benchmarks erase early losses caused by the lingering trade spat between the U.S. and China. Coronavirus has caused chaos for England's college admittance process this week. The pandemic meant students were not able to physically sit entrance exams this spring, so teachers instead estimated grades based on a combination of work students had done earlier in the year and results of practice exams. Those grades were then checked by exam boards, who also took into consideration factors like a school's past performance. But the results of those assessments have caused widespread protests across the country. That's students in the middle of England protesting there after 280,000 results across the country were downgraded from what teachers predicted students would earn. That's meant high-achieving students at low-achieving schools saw a sharp drop in their grades. In the last 24 hours, the government said it will now revert back to teacher-assessed grading only, but the damage is already done, according to Lindsay McMillan, professor of economics at the University College London.
Universities make offers to students conditional on those predicted grades. Now, universities often offer more places than they can actually take, since not all students actually end up getting those grades that the teachers predict. We have a cohort of students this year then who have significantly higher grades than has been seen in the past. So we're in a position now where universities are legally required to provide a place to the students if they achieve the offer that they've been made. So there's likely to be significantly more students at university this year compared to previous years.
So that's caused a lot of fury now over the handling of this year's grading. Let's hear from a few students who have been impacted here in England.
I've gone from holding an offer to study medicine at UCL, one of the best universities in the world, to being left with nothing.
I'm a first-generation Oxford offer holder from a state school. I'm currently in the process of appealing my grades. It makes me very angry when they've had all this time to prepare.
So, Lindsay, clearly a lot of anger here. Now, there's usually a cap on the number of students a university can admit. Now that's been removed after all of the controversy this week. Does that mean students who want to go to their top university will now be able to?
So what we're going to end up seeing is that students are far more likely to get into their first choice course because their grades are higher and they're more likely to achieve the offer that they were made from their first choice university. This will have different implications across the university system. For higher tariff universities, they're going to see a surge in the number of students that they have to admit. Remembering that we're in the middle of a pandemic here and social distancing remains so important, we may see some students being asked to defer their place until next year. The issue comes that when universities recruit students next year, a number of the spaces will already have been taken. And then this becomes an issue because next year's cohort, who have already missed a significant period of school due to school closures, are then going to be competing, having taken exams, likely with less inflated grades, for fewer places come next year.
This all impacts university finance in the end. More students attending university equals more money for universities, but do these schools have enough resources to accommodate that rise in student numbers? As you said, with social distancing measures in place, will there be enough space for students to learn? Will there be enough housing for them to stay in?
So this is a kind of great unknown at the moment. It depends really on how the trajectory of the pandemic continues. A lot of universities at the moment are going online or doing some kind of mixed provision in the first term. So they will still need to house students. I think the other point to make is that there'll be inequalities across the university sector here. So while the high tariff universities may experience this kind of surge in students that we've discussed, you're going to get the lower tariff universities maybe missing out on some of the students who got their first offer, who might have in a normal year gone to them as their kind of backup option. And so they may see a decline in student numbers.
Lindsay McMillan from the University College London, thanks so much for taking the time to break this all down for us.
Thanks.
A deep dive into a complicated topic. There is so much more where that came from, including what all this means for students who will now graduate into a starkly different labor market than they might have expected thanks to the coronavirus pandemic. You can find my full conversation with Professor McMillan at marketplace.org. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.